Amen. All right, well, tonight we are in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and I actually would like you to just turn a page, or if it's the right there on the same page for you, we're going to be looking, starting in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and when you look at the passages in Scripture, you have chapter divisions, but those chapter divisions were not, these letters were not written in that fashion. What I mean by that is when Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, he didn't write, you know, chapter 11, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 10, the new chapter. Those chapter divisions were added later, and we're thankful for that. But I want you to understand that when you start chapter 12 in verse 1 with "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth," the context is actually still in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. So we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. And like I've already announced, tonight I'm preaching a sermon directed at young people. And I really do want the young people to listen up. And what we're going to look at tonight, and what I've titled the sermon, is Advice Every Young Person Needs to Hear. And what we're going to look at is some advice from an old man, and his name is Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man, of course, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who ever lived. And Solomon gave us a lot of good advice through Scripture. Of course, when you read the book of Proverbs, you've got the writings of the wisest man giving you some thoughts and tips for life. When you read the book of Ecclesiastes, it feels a little different. The book of Ecclesiastes is, in some ways, a dark book. It's a little bit of a depressing book. And the reason for that is because when you get to Ecclesiastes, you are now hearing from an old man that has many regrets, from an old man that had a lot of opportunity, he had a lot of wisdom, he had a lot of things that he knew what to do. He gave us the book of Proverbs to tell us what to do, but he failed to do those in his own life. And when he gets to the end of his life, he is very bitter, upset, depressed, discouraged with the fact that he wasted the opportunities that were given to him. And in this letter, he gives us some advice for young people. I want you to notice what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. I won't be long tonight. I'll try my best not to be long. I know we're having a potluck and fellowship. But I'd like you to notice verse 9, Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. Notice the first word, it says rejoice. He says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth." When it comes to the advice that Solomon, as an old man, would give to young people, the first thing that he would tell young people is that you should rejoice. And I'd like you young people, if you're able to take notes and write things down, maybe you can write it on the back of the course of the week, or maybe you can write right there in the margin of your Bible, right next to Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9, write this word, rejoice. And here's what I want to tell young people. You ought to rejoice at the fact that you've got great opportunity to accomplish great things for God. God can use young people. In fact, God does use young people in a very mighty way to do great things for him. Keep your place there in Ecclesiastes 11. That's our text for tonight. But go with me to the book of Lamentations just real quickly. Lamentations chapter 3. If you're in Ecclesiastes, you're just going to go past the Song of Solomon, past the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah, into Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 27. I'd like you to notice this verse, Lamentations 3:27. You say, why is it that God can use young people to do great things for God? Well, one reason is because they've got strength. They've got energy. They've got time. They've got a lot of opportunity before them. Lamentations 3:27 says this, "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." Here the Bible tells us, look, it's good for a young man, and it's good for young people to work and get to work and be zealous. Why? Because you know what? Young people don't get tired like old people do. Young people don't get, they're not stressed out like old people are. Young people have a lot of time and energy and opportunity before them, and they ought to rejoice that they can accomplish great things for God. Now, go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. If you can find the T-books in the New Testament, they're all clustered together. 1st, 2nd Thessalonians, 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, 1 Timothy chapter 4. And while you turn there, let me just say this. Throughout the Bible, there is this running theme that young people can do great things for God. I mean, think about all of the young people, the teenagers or the young single adults, we would maybe call them, that accomplish great things for God. Think about Joseph. When we learn, when we meet Joseph in the book of Genesis, he's 17 years old. Think about David. when he slays Goliath. He is a young man, probably a 16 or 17-year-old. Think about King Josiah. He became king at the age of 8 years old, did wonderful things for God. Think about King Joash, also became king at 8 years old, did great things for God. Think about Daniel. Think about Shadrach. Think about Meshach. Think about Abednego. And here's what I'm telling you is in the Bible, you find this idea that young people can accomplish, can do great things, can take strong stands, and can do great things for God. So here's the advice I have for you young people, is rejoice in that, and don't allow anybody to just kind of discount you because of the fact that you're young. Are you there in 1 Timothy chapter 4? Look at verse 12. Notice what Paul told Timothy, a young man. 1 Timothy 4:12, he says this, "Let no man despise thy youth. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word and conversation and charity in spirit and faith and purity." And here's what I want to tell you young people. You ought to get excited to serve God. You ought to get excited of the opportunities you have. You ought to be zealous. You ought to work hard. You ought to take strong stands. And just know this, when you begin to do things for the Lord as a young person, there's going to be some old people that are backslidden, some old people that are depressed, some old people that are discouraged, and they're going to try to dampen your spirit. But you know what? Let no man despise thy youth. Realize that you should rejoice. Here's what Solomon would tell you as an old man, a very wise man, who not only knew what he should have done, but knew by experience because he failed to do it. He would look at you and say, rejoice in your youth. Rejoice in the fact that you've got opportunity. Rejoice in the fact that you've got energy. Rejoice in the fact that you've got time before you, and you can accomplish great things for the Lord. If you go back to Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9, I'd like you to just write right next to that word, maybe in the margin of your Bible, verse 9, I want you to write this word, rejoice. You ought to rejoice. Listen to me. You ought to rejoice that you get to hear this type of preaching, and I'm not talking about me or my style, I'm talking about biblical preaching, that there is anybody that is opening up the Bible and teaching you biblical principles at your young age. Because there are many adults in this room who are saying, I wish I would have been exposed to this when I was 17 years old. I wish I would have been exposed to this when I was 15 years old. I wish I would have been exposed to this when I was 8 years old. Hey, you ought to rejoice at the fact that you have great opportunity, that you have an ability to be able to accomplish great things for God. Just like David, just like Daniel, just like Josiah, just like Joseph. Go to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter 2, if you start at the end of the New Testament, the book of Revelation, and you head back, you're going to have the book of Revelation, of course, Jude, 3 John, 2 John, 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 13. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13. We ought not discount young people. We ought not despise their youth because they can accomplish great things for God. Notice what John, the Apostle John, wrote to young people, 1 John 2:13. He says, I write unto you fathers because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, notice what it says, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. See, it is young people who are able to overcome Satan, who are able to fight spiritual battles, who are able to do great things for God. Notice verse 14. I bring unto you fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I bring unto you, notice what he says again, young men, because ye are strong. He says, you've got strength, you've got energy, you've got ability. He says, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. And here's all I'm telling you, young people. There's some advice I'd like you to grab tonight and understand tonight. And the first piece of advice is this, that you ought to rejoice that you can accomplish, and you have opportunity, and you have energy, and you have time. You ought to rejoice at the fact that you can accomplish great things for God. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, but let me give you a second piece of advice tonight. Not only should you rejoice, but if you're writing down notes or if you're writing these words in the margin of your Bible, right there next to Ecclesiastes 11:9, right where you wrote the word rejoice, I'd also like you to write this word, realize. Not only tonight should you rejoice at the fact that you can accomplish great things for God, but you ought to realize that God will judge you for what you do with your youth. You have to realize that God will judge you for the great opportunity that he has given you. Are you there in Ecclesiastes 11? Look at verse 9. He says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the day of thy youth." He said, look, it's great that you're young. It's great that you have energy. It's great that you have ability. It's great that you have zeal. He says, rejoice in that. But then he says this, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. He says, look, rejoice in your youth. Do what you're going to do. Accomplish what you're going to do. But then he says this, but know. He says, but know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. So young people, tonight I want to tell you something. I want you to rejoice. Rejoice that you're here. Rejoice that you're strong. Rejoice that you're young. Rejoice that you have time and energy and opportunity. But I'd also like you to realize, to acknowledge the fact that you must realize that God will judge you for what you do. Go to Luke chapter 12. In the New Testament, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 12. Remember, we talked about the fact that there are some older people here tonight who wish that they could have been exposed to this. There are some older people here tonight, and they wish they could have been raised the way you're being raised. They wish they could have had the parents that you have. They wish they could have had the opportunities that you have. Well, realize, young people, that you will be held accountable for what you've been given. Luke chapter 12 and verse 48. Notice what the Bible says. Luke chapter 12 and verse 48 says this, "But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes." Luke chapter 12, verse 48. Don't miss this. "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." And I want every young person in the room to understand this, that whatever area you are in life, wherever you live, and whatever your situation is, I know this, that you have been given a great opportunity. You've got a mom or a dad, or a mom and a dad, or a mom and a stepdad, or a dad and a stepmom, or whatever your situation is, that situation has brought you to a place like this, and you have been given much. And the Bible says this, "For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall much be required." So please rejoice that you're young, but also realize that God will judge you for what you do in your youth. So here's a question I have for you, young people. What are you doing with your youth? What are you accomplishing with what you have been given? Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. Hopefully you're writing these words in the margin of your Bible. You ought to have the word rejoice. So why should I rejoice? Because you have time. Because you have energy. Because you don't have baggage. Because you've got strength and ability. Because you've been given a wonderful gift that we were all given at one point, and it's called youth. You ought to rejoice over that. But you must also realize that God will judge you for what you do with your youth. I'd like you to write this word, number 3, remove. Remove. Notice Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 10. Notice what he says. "Therefore..." Now, I want you to notice that word, therefore. The word, therefore, means for this reason. For what reason? Remember, he just got done telling us, you ought to rejoice and you ought to realize. You ought to rejoice in the opportunity you have, and you ought to realize that you will be held accountable for the opportunity you've been given. He says, you ought to rejoice that you've got time, and you ought to realize that you will be judged for the time you have. You ought to rejoice that you have energy, and you ought to realize that you'll be judged for the energy you have. You ought to rejoice that you've been given much, and you have to realize that you will be judged for what you've been given. And then he says this, the wisest man who ever lived on this earth, he says, and then young people, I want you to remove. Notice what he says. "Therefore, remove sorrow." You know what that word sorrow means? It means regret. You know where most sorrow, where the sorrow of most older people comes from? It comes from regrets. And here's what Solomon would tell young people. He'd say, rejoice and realize. But he would say, "Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." So what is he talking about? Here's what he's saying. And please understand this. Most of the regrets, and if you don't believe me, just ask old people. How do I know if they're old? Look at their hair, all right? And you know, I'm old now because you just look at my hair. And my wife reminds me all the time how much white hair I have. You know, I tell her I've earned every single one of those. And here's the thing. Here's what I know. Most of the regrets that adults carry with their life happened between the ages of 13 and 19 years of age. Most of the sorrow, most of the regret, most of the remorse, most of the decisions they made that they carry with them, the decisions they made that they hope no one finds out about, the decisions they made that they just kind of bothers them. It's just kind of what Satan uses to whisper in their ear to tell them, look at you, look at what you've done, look at where you've been, look at what you've been. Most of those decisions were made between the ages of 13 and 19 years of age. And I'm just telling you, young people, that you have the wonderful opportunity right now to remove sin from your life and minimize the amount of regrets that you'll have as an adult. Go to Psalm 25. Psalm 25, look at verse 6. Psalm 25 and verse 6. Please understand this, young people. The decisions you're making today, the decisions you're making today will set the trajectory of the rest of your life. The decisions you're making right now, the choices you're making right now will set the trajectory of the rest of your life. And that doesn't mean that you can't mess up your life and wake up someday as a middle-aged person and get right with God and try to get things right in your life. But your life is going to have a lot of sorrow and a lot of regret. And you should rejoice at the fact that you have a wonderful opportunity to bypass that. You ought to rejoice at the fact that you have a wonderful opportunity to not be the 30-year-old, to not be the 40-year-old, to not be the 50-year-old that's carrying regret with them. Psalm 25 and verse 6, notice what the psalmist said. He said, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old." Verse 7, "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgression. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord." And here's what I'm telling you, I'm talking to young people, and I gave the ages of 13 and 19, but if you're 20 and you're 21, this applies to you, and if you're 11 and you're 12, this applies to you too. But here's all I'm telling you, is that right now you are making decisions and that you have the potential to make decisions in your life that you will regret, that you will carry with you, that will be baggage that you carry with you for the rest of your life. And if I were Solomon and I was the wisest man on earth and I had an opportunity to give you some advice, I would say rejoice, and I would say realize, and I would say remove. Because you know what I've learned over the last 8 or 9 years as a pastor? You know what I've learned over the last 8 or 9 years as a pastor, doing a lot of marriage counseling and parent counseling and all sorts of things? You know what I've learned? I've learned that there are very few marriage problems. There are very few couple problems. But you know what there's a lot of? There's a lot of single people problems that single people bring into marriage. And you can minimize that today. You see, you don't understand, but the decisions you're making right now, the friends you're making, the choices you're making, the things you are looking at, the things you are consuming, the things, the places you are going will be things that you carry with you into the rest of your life. You will carry them with you into marriage. You will carry them with you into parenthood. You will carry them with you for the rest of your life, whatever you do, and God can forgive you, and God can heal you, and God can do those things. But wouldn't it be better to just bypass it altogether? I mean, wouldn't it be better to just not have to have those regrets? So Solomon would say, young people, rejoice, because you're young, because you have time and you have energy and you have opportunity. And he would say, realize that God will judge you for what you're doing with the opportunities he's given you. And remove. He would say, therefore, remove sorrow from my heart and put away evil from my flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. I hope you're writing these words down in the margin of your Bible. You should have the word rejoice. You should have the word realize. You should have the word remove. Let me give you a fourth one. Look at Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. Write the word remember. He says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." He says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." Now, what does it mean when he says, remember? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, don't forget. He says, look, young people, don't forget God. He says, remember God. And you know what I've learned is that young people have a tendency to forget God. Young people will forget God. They'll get a new girlfriend and they'll forget God. They'll get a little boyfriend and they'll forget God. They'll get a little minimum wage job and they'll forget God. They'll get a car. They'll get into some sporting event. They'll get into some sort of social activity, and they'll forget God. And Solomon would say, hey, listen, you ought to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt have no pleasure in them. And he says, look, don't forget God. He said, remember the Lord now, because the decisions you're making today, the decisions you're making today will set the trajectory for the rest of your life. I don't know if you kept your place in 1 Timothy, but if you can go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, we were in 1 Timothy earlier, find the T books, they're all clustered together. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Remember Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth? Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, notice what Paul says to Timothy. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul says this, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul told Timothy, from a child you've known these things. And he says, let no man despise thy youth. And you know what, Timothy, remember the Lord in the days of his youth. And look, young people, please don't forget God. Please don't remember God. Remember to involve God. Remember to have God in your life. Go to Psalm 71. If you kept your place there, I'm not sure if you did. I think we're in Psalms a little earlier, but if you open your Bible just right in the center, you're more than likely following the book of Psalms. Psalm 71, look at verse 5. Psalm 71 and verse 5. Psalm 71 and verse 5 says this, for thou art my hope. Psalm 71 and verse 5. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. And here's what I want you to understand. The decisions, please understand this, teenager. The decisions you are making with your life right now will set the trajectory of the rest of your life. And you don't understand the impact that those decisions will have on your life. My wife and I will be celebrating 15 years of marriage on Wednesday. And because of that, you know, I've been kind of reminiscing and thinking, and we've been talking about our teenage years and our childhood and things like that. When I was 16, 17 years old, when I started working, I remember my dad sat me down, my mom and dad were in agreement, and they're both here tonight, of course. But I remember my parents sat me down and they said, "How? Listen, you can go get a job wherever you want, but you will not work on Sunday and you will not work on Wednesday. In our home, we honor the Lord with our time. So you can go work wherever, you can go apply wherever, but make sure that your boss knows that you do not work Sundays, you do not work Wednesdays, we honor the Lord with our time." And I said, "Yes, sir." You know, I remember I went and I was 16 years old, 17 years old. I got a job at Subway. And I remember putting on my application that I don't work Sundays, I don't work Wednesdays, and there was a big ordeal about that, and I'll tell you that story another day. But as a result, I ended up working at Subway, and I was the only person that worked at Subway that had Sundays off. Everybody else had to work Sundays, but I did not. And that earned me a nickname real quickly. I was the Christian. You know, the Christian doesn't work on Sundays. The Christian is the only one that doesn't get that gets Sundays off. Everybody else has to work Sunday, but the Christian doesn't. But you know what's interesting about that? Is that little nickname and that little, you know, just kind of people poking fun at me is what actually gave me the opportunity to begin to give the gospel to a 17-year-old coworker by the name of Joanne Clark, who was an atheist at the time. And that little, you know, oh, you're the Christian and you don't work on Sunday, was what actually gave me the opportunity to begin to give the girl that I would one day marry the gospel. And here's all I'm telling you. I wonder if my parents would not have told me, you can't work Sundays, if I would have ever got my wife saved, if I would have ever got married to her. If the six wonderful children that God has blessed me with would even be here today. And here's the thing. If this church would even exist now, if it wasn't for a mom and dad who sat down their 16-year-old boy and said, remember the Lord in thy youth. Amen. And here's all I'm telling you, is that the decisions you're making right now will set the trajectory of the rest of your life. So please rejoice in your youth. But realize that God will judge you for what you're doing with your life. Remove as much sin. Remove as much regret as possible. And remember. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Look at Psalm 71. Look at verse 17. You're there in Psalm 71. Look at verse 17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Don't miss this. This is similar to what Paul was telling Timothy, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Here he says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. Notice, he says, and hitherto, the word hitherto means from this point forward. He says, you have taught me from my youth, and from this point forward have I declared thy wondrous works. He says, from a young man I've been taught the things of God, and from that point, from the point of a young man forward, I have declared thy wondrous works. I have declared the word of God. I have declared the things of God. When I was 16 years old, I'm telling you a lot of stories tonight. When I was 16 years old, I became good friends with a young man by the name of Steven Anderson. Some of you may have heard of him. Pastor Anderson, of course, we met before either one of us was pastor, and I was 16. I was even married when we met. He's 3 or 4 years older than me. And when I was 16, he was 19 or 20 years old, and he had just gotten married, or he hadn't been married that long. And our families and all of us were members at Regency Baptist Church. And we served at Regency Baptist Church in different capacities. I worked on the bus ministry, and I served in the bus ministry, and I was a helper with the buses there. And he served in the old folks' home ministry, and he'd preach in the old folks' ministry and things like that. And there's a problem with soul winning at Regency Baptist Church at that time, when a lot of people weren't going soul winning. At one point, it was a really thriving soul winning type church, but people had lost it and stopped doing it. And Pastor Nichols decided that he wanted to put a stop to that. So he instituted this rule, and I agree with this, that you could not serve at Regency Baptist Church and not be a soul winner. So if you're going to work on a bus, you're going to be a Sunday school teacher, whatever you're going to do, an usher, whatever capacity you're going to serve in, you can't serve without going soul winning at least 1 hour a week. And they had this meeting where all of the workers would get together every Sunday before the Sunday evening service, and they'd pass out this clipboard, and the clipboard had everybody's name on it and what capacity you're served, and then it had four columns, and it said soul winning across the top, and it said 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, and then it just had the word more, and you were supposed to check, you know, that you went soul winning that week, and how long you went soul winning for. So you're supposed to put, I went soul winning for 1 hour, I went soul winning for 2 hours, and of course everybody went 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour. Well, my friend and I decided that we were going to always be in that fourth column. We wanted to try to make sure that we were always out soul winning for 4 hours or more, and we began to develop this friendship because nobody else wanted to go soul winning with us. So we would just go soul winning ourselves, you know, and we tried to go soul winning for 4 hours every week and make sure that we were always in that fourth column. Well, Susanna ended up going on a trip to see her family back in Germany. And I remember Pastor Anderson, he wasn't pastor at the time, he came to me and he said, hey, I have an idea. He said, you know how we've been doing this fourth column every week? He said, my wife's going to be gone for a while, and we can put in a lot of more extra soul winning time. And he said, I was thinking, wouldn't it be crazy if we went soul winning for like 8 hours in one day? And I was like, yeah, let's try it, you know. So we planned it all out. I remember talking to my dad and asking permission, like, can I go soul winning for 8 hours, you know. And we did it. And I was 16 years old. Pastor Anderson was, 19, maybe 20 years old at the time. We had this little, we didn't know what to call it, but we had this soul winning marathon, him and I, 8 hours. 16 years old. You know that since then, Pastor Anderson, myself, and everyone that the Lord has allowed us to influence have literally led so many marathons all over this country and all over this world. Amen. Something that began when we were teenagers determined the trajectory of the rest of our lives and has literally sprung a soul-winning revival among independent fundamental Baptists, new independent fundamental Baptists, all over America and all over the world. And here's all I'm telling you, 16-year-old, don't minimize your youth. Because the decisions you're making right now, the choices and the friendships and the decisions, the things that you're doing, the choices you're making right now will set the trajectory for the rest of your life. So please realize, so please rejoice in your youth. You've got time, and you have energy, and you have and you've got a lot to give, and you can take strong stands, and you can do great things. But please realize that you will be judged for the opportunities you've been given. Please remove. Please just stop. Please just don't go down the road of those sins that will become regrets in your old age. And please remember the Creator in thy youth, because the choices you're making right now may impact the lives of countless people that you've never even met or dreamt that you could influence. So live for God. So trust the Lord. So don't sell out for a hobby, for a girlfriend, for a minimum wage job. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. And Lord, we love these young people. We've got some of the finest young people, I believe, in the country. And we've got teenagers that love you and go soul winning and read their Bibles and serve God. But Lord, I pray you'd get a hold of these young people. Lord, I pray you'd set a fire of revival amongst our young people, Lord. Pray that they wouldn't waste their time with the world and with stupid things. Lord, I pray that they'd begin to serve God with their lives right now. That they would rejoice, they would realize, that they would remove and remember the Creator in their day. Lord, we pray that you would bless the rest of this evening. We thank you for these young people that have graduated and they're moving on to the next phase in life. Lord, we ask that you'd bless the time of fellowship to come. In the matchless name of Christ, we pray. Amen.